It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferris. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll check out the presidential race and what candidates have to say about funding for higher education.
First, the country could have a new set of policies to alleviate poverty under new proposals announced by U.S. Speaker Paul Ryan with other leaders from the House.
The new plan is part of a new initiative called A Better Way, Our Vision for a Confident America. It begins with an examination of poverty. According to Speaker Ryan, it rests on five principles.
Number one, reward work. Number two, tailor benefits to people's specific needs. Number three, demand results. Hold each other accountable. Number four, improve skills and schools. Number five, help people save and plan for their future so that people have their own horizon that they're shooting for. This is how you fight poverty. This is how you create opportunity.
This isn't the first effort in Washington to deal with the problem of poverty. How does this plan differ from previous attempts, and how feasible is it all?
Joining us now to talk about that new plan and how it could work is Ron Haskins. He's the co-director of the Center on Children and Families and Senior Economic Studies Fellow at the Brookings Institution. Rob, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, Ron, you've been following plans like this. How much of this plan is new?
If you put it all together, to have all these proposals in one place is new, but not very many of the proposals are completely new. And I would say two of the most interesting things about it are that the set of proposals contains a lot about evidence-based policy, which is very important in Washington, might put your audience to sleep. But most of our programs don't work, and Ryan has definitely been in the lead and in a bipartisan way with Senator Murray from Washington, establishing a national commission and introducing lots of legislation to improve the quality of programs. So that's a very important part of the proposal. And then secondly, it is surprisingly bipartisan. I think there are a number of things, there are many things in the proposal that I think could lead to, real negotiations between the Republicans and the Democrats. In the last paragraph, they say that they're starting a conversation. That's kind of interesting for Washington, and I think that's right. There's plenty here that Democrats and Republicans can talk about and maybe work out a proposal for next year.
We're going to listen to another clip from today. This is Representative Mike Conaway of Texas speaking with Paul Ryan.
None of us want people trapped. None of us want people stuck, mired in their circumstances. But the key is that person needs to want to get unstuck. That person needs to want to get out of that mired circumstances. And our programs sometimes trap them there, even the ones who want out.
So now this has been a familiar framing difference between conservatives and liberals on this. In this, you hear maybe more of that strand of personal responsibility, as conservatives would frame it, and as I've seen it framed already in some liberal sites, they say it's more of the blaming the poor aspect of this. How do you see that strand in it?
I think the last decade or so, and even the last 20 years since the 1996 Welfare Reform Bill, which was all about work and making people accept responsibility for work, and I think that there's been a real change among liberals, progressives, Democrats, in recognizing that personal responsibility is an important part of this agenda, and part of what needs to happen is that parents need to be more responsible, and kids need to be more responsible, too. Government needs to do a lot, don't get me wrong. Progressives are not going to give up on that, and neither are Republicans. But I think there's been a movement together between Republicans and Democrats over the last 10 or 20 years in this regard. There's still space between them, but I think we're closer to agreement on this. And you can cut a deal between Republicans and Democrats that emphasizes both personal responsibility and how the government can help.
So you think there's real opportunity for bipartisanship in this plan? Not everyone sees it that way. So where do you see these real areas where you think cooperation could be possible?
Well, there's definitely cooperation on evidence and the role of evidence, and there's a lot we can do to make sure our programs are, I shouldn't say make sure they're working, but to find out if they're working, and if not, either improve them or replace them. So that's certainly bipartisan. A number of his proposals on post-secondary education, especially reforming the programs and giving parents and kids better information And there's a lot we could do to make it simpler to apply for federal aid, especially Pell Grants, and a lot of good ideas for loans, paying back loans as well. I think there's plenty of room for bipartisan compromise there. And earlier this year, and starting, in fact, starting last year, AEI, which is a kind of right-of-center think tank, and Brookings Celestive Center think tank, organized a group of Republicans and Democrats scholars from around the country, and they reached agreement on a bunch of things I think that would be very difficult to agree on, like minimum wage. And Democrats, in exchange, were willing to emphasize things like marriage, which I think has to be an important part of the agenda. So I think there is a movement, both outside and inside Washington, to try to reach bipartisan compromise. Certainly the country's sick of grandstanding and all kinds of partisan taunts in Washington, and I think members on both sides of the aisle realize that, and they might be willing to work together. Of course, a lot will hinge on the presidential race. Unfortunately, I think no matter what happens, the presidential race is going to create even more partisanship. But I think the members themselves are moving in the right direction.
We're talking with Ron Haskins right now, co-director of the Center on Children and Families, also senior fellow of economic studies at the Brookings Institution. And you mentioned some reform to Pell Grants. And also, I know this plan calls for some reforms to Social Security as well, which has always been, you know, it's known as the third rail of politics, but here it is in Paul Ryan's plan. And these are both areas that have the potential to worry a lot of people. What do you know about those plans to reform Social Security and Pell Grants so far?
Well, I think the third rail of American politics does not exist for Paul Ryan. Everyone says that about Medicare, too, and he's proposed extremely interesting reforms in Medicare. Unfortunately, didn't pass. But at some point, we are going to have to pass reforms that are similar to, or at least achieve the ends of his proposals on Medicare. So I don't think he's scared off by some feeling that you shouldn't make any proposals to reform Social Security or Medicare. And his proposal is to increase, again, personal responsibility. It's not an area I follow very closely, but Ryan definitely has been talking about, and all Republicans have been talking about, not relying too much on Social Security and taking some of the pressure off Social Security by having individual accounts, which Republicans have a lot of ways to try to make them easier to get and make them more attractive to individuals. So far, none of that has taken. There's no way the Democratic Party is going to turn their back on Social Security, so that area will be very difficult to work things out.
And we know other parts of the plan call for requirements for job training and child development, and these, of course, are things that require funding. Do we know how much House Republicans are calling for to support efforts like these?
In the proposal, they do not talk about funding. They don't mention any figure. They don't say that they're going to increase funding. I think in order to get, I just wrote about this today, and I think in order to get bipartisan legislation, they will have to have more spending, and under congressional rules, which Ryan does everything he can to follow, he's probably the most committed of the Speaker or Majority Leader in the Senate in recent years to making sure that we follow the rules on budget. And I think that that we will have to finance any spending with either increased taxes or cutting other programs. Republicans are not going to have increased taxes, so that means we're going to have to match new spending with program cuts. And I think it's possible to work that out. I'm not predicting it'll happen, but that's going to be an area of a lot of attention. Democrats are going to want to spend more money, especially in the context of what the Democratic presidential candidates have proposed, tens of billions of dollars in new spending, which I think is pretty unrealistic. Even if Democrats control both the House and the Senate and the presidency after the election, which seems highly unlikely, but even if they did, they would have a difficult time spending anything near the amount of money that either Clinton or Sanders envisions.
And finally, Ron, as we wrap up, another one that could be, has the potential to be controversial. Part of the plan calls for the reining in of the power of the Secretary of Education and expanding choice schools. Looking at the Secretary of Education, what would replace the leadership in that role?
I don't know exactly what they're going to propose. Republicans always talk about that. It's a talking point, and a lot of it's rhetorical. The legislation that was passed last year to reform the No Child Left Behind bill on a highly bipartisan basis, has already limited the reach of the federal government at least somewhat in education. So I think at least part of that agenda has been achieved. I would not expect that there would be big changes in education for the remainder of this year or even next year, because Congress has a habit of not returning to major legislation for at least several years. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of changes, and it's very difficult for Congress to limit the authority of a secretary in an administration that's run by the other party. So I would not look for any serious changes there.
Ron, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Ron Haskins is the co-director of the Center on Children and Family and senior fellow of economic studies at the Brookings Institution. And he joined us to talk about a new plan being proposed by U.S. House Speaker Paul Ryan today.